Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Perhaps I should say a very loving welcome as per this morning's Muli. And before we start, I'm just going to see, does everyone have translation? Anyone, perhaps people who need translation can't understand me when I say that. It's okay. Anyone? Translation, those who need it, you're receiving? Korean? Which languages? We have Korean, Polish. Any other languages? Vietnamese, yes. French, okay. Okay. I think we will start, though some are still coming. The session today has been titled Transforming Knowing into Experiencing. What I'd like to do this morning is to share a little bit. We will do a written exercise. It's not an exam, it's just we will share some experiences. And also we're going to do some exercises in room 8, some experiential exercises. So there'll be different things happening. I think this topic, this subject has been close to my heart even before I was a BK. And yesterday I was meeting with the Spanish family and I was sharing my experience before coming to Baba. I grew up in Australia and I think, like most here in this room, I was a searcher. Who was a searcher in this room, can I ask? Basically the whole room. I was looking for something. I went to university. I studied architecture at university, but this feeling in me was really strong. So at the age of 20, I left Australia and I traveled for a few years. I started in Southeast Asia and then I came through India to the Middle East, to Europe, Africa. And not consciously, but in a sense it just happened, I found myself staying in religious communities. I lived in a Sikh community for some time, and as you know, Sikhs take in travelers, it's a part of their philosophy. I lived with Buddhists in an island off Thailand. I lived with Muslims during Ramadan. I came to India and I live with some yogis up in Dharamsala. I only lasted 1 week, by the way. Not very successful, I'm afraid. I also went to where the Dalai Lama lived, and I traveled through the Middle East, Iran, Iraq, all those sorts of places, Europe. I lived within Christian communities. And as I was traveling, I found that everywhere you hear very profound truths, if you can say that. Very meaningful wisdom. I loved the knowledge that I was receiving, but the more I went, I found that I wanted to experience. My big question was, well, you can know all this information, but how do you actually massage it into your feelings? How do you transform knowledge, philosophy into feelings and experience inside? And I would say, even till this day, it's my quest in Brahman life. Because I feel that spiritual experience is the great sustenance in this journey. And I remember some years ago, Avyak Babdada was meeting the children. And Baba said he was checking the stage of the children in the four subjects. And what Baba said was that looking at Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, Service. Baba said everyone was achieving to their capacity, but there was a lack of becoming the embodiment of experience or the authority of experience. And Baba said that we have to experience two things. Firstly, using knowledge in a practical way. We have the theory, we know it perfectly, but actually using it practically in life. And I can remember when I first started in Brahman life, I was living in Melbourne, and I was only a year in Gyan. I was helping to look after the centre. And, you know, I was very inexperienced, and sometimes things went wrong. And, you know, I would say, drama, but my heart was going, boom, 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 you know, drama. You know. In other words, I knew it. Intellectually, I understood it clearly. But to make it deep inside of you so that you look through the filter of truth into every situation, that is the learning curve in this life. There's this huge gap between knowing and feeling. I can know in 1 week, we can do the knowledge, but it takes years of Brahman life to transform what I know into what I feel. And I think this is really a quest that's always been important for me. And secondly, Baba said, how to have spiritual experiences. In other words, when we meditate, not even when we meditate, as we go through action, that the fragrance of purity, the fragrance of love, the fragrance of happiness, I know how to cultivate that feeling inside of me. I know the methodology. And I really love listening to that because I think for me, that when I first started, you know, as I said, when I got to London after my travels, I was shopping around in London to all the various spiritual groups. I used to feel in those days London was like a spiritual supermarket. You know, everything was available. Take a bit of this, take a bit of that. And I went to a place called the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain in Hyde Park Corner. And Daddy and Gentie Ben used to go there. And amazingly, in those days, Gentie Ben would give the talk and Daddy would sit in yoga. You know how much Daddy loves to speak? 1975. So, but as soon as I saw them, I could tell from their faces they had spiritual experience. And really that attracted me. And I went to the center and I did the knowledge, but the same question came up. I learned the knowledge, I loved the knowledge, it fitted comfortably. Okay. Then there was meditation. How do I experience? Because to me, meditation is converting the theory into an experience. Meditation is transforming Baba's knowledge, Baba's wisdom, Baba's truth into a feeling inside. It's like you extract the juice. And you taste it spiritually, internally. And many times I've had the thought, the method of meditation, firstly, knowing. Secondly, we can say believing, having faith. Thirdly, we can say experience. But sometimes I feel the first step is to know. The second step is to believe. The next 998 steps. Educating myself how to experience. And it is an education. When I actually began, I realized that we've all had a good education. I'm sure everyone in this room, is that true? I think we've all had a good education. Our Lokic education teaches us how to think rationally. You know, that's what science teaches us. Take an idea, A, B, C, D, come to a rational conclusion. It's very necessary. We also know how to think creatively. Take an idea, let it embellish and grow. Also very important. We can even think positively. We can learn positive thinking. But in a sense, meditation is experiential thinking. And I think we've lost that art of experiential thinking, taking the idea and converting it into an experience or a feeling. And I remember in 1985, who was here in 1985, can I ask? Four. Four of us were here in 1985. You know, we came to Madhuban, and Baba used to meet in Om Shanti Bhavan. And there was a foreigner season, and Baba met the foreigners, and you know what he did? He asked us all to do the course again. And a few of us thought, we've been in Gyan 10 years. And you know what Baba said? Very interesting. He said to the double foreigners, you know the knowledge, you believe the knowledge, you teach the knowledge, but you don't experience the knowledge. And then Baba said something which really has always been in my mind. Baba said, every point of knowledge has an associated experience. Every point of knowledge has an associated experience. Now, the way we learn in this world, once I know something intellectually, I believe that's it. Okay, finish. What's next? That's how you learn at school. That is the beginning in Brahman life. That's where we start. Because our journey is to convert that knowing into experiencing. And what does Baba say to us in the Sakamoli time and time again? He says, children, churn the knowledge. You know, I love to replace that word with experience. So when Baba says churn, what is actually meaning? Not just intellectually revising theory, because some of us are very skilled at intellectually, you know, coming up with more and more information. Do we need more information in this world? I don't think so. But churning means contemplating so deeply that you move yourself from the theory into a feeling or an experience. So I know I'm a soul. As I start to believe and realize, I feel peace. As I go deeper, I feel more peace. And as I churn deeper, experience deeper, I go into total silence. This is the method of meditation. And I think this is what, you know, Baba is really wanting us to do, because my own experience is that to sustain myself on this journey, and it's a long journey for many of us, you know, when I came into Gyan, it was 1975, many thought destruction would be 1976. So I came in August 1975. Some people said maybe Vinash destruction will be 1976. I thought, no problem. You know, I've got 1 year, I'll become Karmateet. And it's now 40 years and still going. So to create new experiences is really a part of this journey. And what I really want to start off with this morning, and I'm going to ask if we can give out, we're going to just do a little exercise, if you don't mind just passing these around. Now, they are in English, but would you be able to pass some around? Thanks. So. We're just going to do this little exercise, just to give us a little evaluation of my own meditation practice, my own ability to experience. So during this few minutes, if we can remain silent, if that's okay. Is that okay? To remain quiet. Does everyone have a pen? Yeah. And just fill it in. We're going to play some music, brother. If you can play some music. Yeah. soft music. In about 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes, do what you can. If you don't understand anything, please ask me. I'm happy to just come up the front and I'm happy to help. So just read the questions and then we'll share with a partner afterwards. Is that okay? Okay, so if we can have some music. And we'll have till about 10:15 or around there. So can I ask, how is everybody going? Who needs a little bit more time, can I ask? Nobody. Okay, just for a few minutes, I'd like you to find a partner, if we can have. If you can find a partner, and preferably someone you don't know. Unless you need language, someone who you share the same language, like Korean or Vietnamese. But if you can stand up and find somebody you don't know, please share the experience of question one. First thing, the experience of question one, and then your realization of doing this exercise. So just two things. Share the experience of question one, and then what realization you had. Is that okay? Just for 10 minutes, if you stand up and find another, a partner. Please, in general, just something special for you. I've learned something this morning. You can really talk. We've had the talking experience. Now we're going to have traffic control. And then after traffic control, if one or two would just like to share the experience of the first question A, B, C, if anyone would like to do that, you'll be welcome. Just one or two. Thank you. So, thank you very much, everyone. So anyone who would like to share very briefly the the first question. Please describe your most special experience you've had in Brahman life. How did it make you feel? How did it transform you? Anyone who wants to briefly share?
Om Shanti, I'm George. Okay, Om Shanti, I'm George from Holland, Amsterdam. My most experience in Brahmin life was when they asked me here in the Harmony Hall to sit on the gadi for the bhati the afternoon. And my reaction was yes, and my second reaction was, wow, this is an honor, this is the other thing. And I started to get into panic because I thought, here's the ego coming. And so I spent 3 or 4 hours in Baba's room afterwards to to clear this thing up. And after that, I went to sit on the gadi on 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon, and the bhati was for an hour, and it felt like 10 minutes, and I was just crying for an hour. Feeling happy, and what it did to me was that the whole process, and also days afterwards, because I was just in a bliss, making me very humble and deeply, deeply realizing that I'm just an instrument. That's all.
Thank you, George.
Hi Dan, my name is Al, I'm from the UK. I was very fortunate to have some very nice experiences during the Raja Yoga course and leading up to that. And there was one experience that was quite unusual. And this was after the course on the lesson on karma. And what had been happening is there'd been certain challenges about my interest in meditation and spirituality. And after the lesson on karma, I didn't have any... Well, it was like an involuntary experience of bliss that just was quite a surprise. It wasn't like I was invoking anything, trying to kind of stir up any emotional experience. It just went, it's like, bam, white light, blissful experience, absolutely wonderful. And what that really did for me is the period that followed, where there was criticism and attempts to try and steer me away from what I wanted to do and what felt really right inside, that experience was kind of living inside me, and it was kind of telling me that yes, you're on the right track, this is right, and whatever anyone else says, that this is the right thing for you, so keep going. And that was like a kind of a little store of a guarantee, an assurance that stayed for quite a few years, and it needed to be strong in order to keep me on track. So
thank you very much. I'm sure one of the sweet things that I really enjoy is sometimes to sit with Baba's children and listen to these very, very profound experiences, life-changing experiences. Because I think that spiritual experiences are the greatest sustenance. And in my Brahman life, if I observe, and all of us are living this life and observing ourselves living this life, I find that when, what makes me really motivated? What helps you keep zeal and enthusiasm? Because that's not a small thing. What keeps you on the path of effort, not sort of giving up or going in that direction? I would say it's spiritual experience. And when you have a really powerful connection with Baba, a feeling where you're just drenched in Baba's love, or a feeling of such spiritual power, or a feeling of transformation, something is cleaned from within the soul, it's just so motivating. And some years ago, I spent some time with Jagdish Bhai, who was our senior brother for many years. Can I ask who met Jagdish Bhai? Many of us, yeah. He was an incredible soul, and I once decided I wanted to get to know him. So I went to Delhi and I stayed in Shaktinagar at his center. And I said to him, can I talk to you? And he said, well, okay, but I don't have much time. I've got 1 hour. So I thought, that's pretty good. So we started after dinner at 8 p.m. and we spoke till midnight. It was a really wonderful experience. And I said to him during that conversation, what is the most important thing in this life? And straight away his answer was new experiences. He said, to educate yourself how to have new experiences, because that keeps that motivation and that enthusiasm, but it is an art form. And I also remember in my early days we had a huge conference in Delhi. I can't remember what year it was. It was like around 1980, 81, 82. And believe it or not, we took a bus from Delhi to Mount Abu. I wouldn't recommend it. It was one of those little Indian buses. But there was one brother who had come from the UK, and he had a science background. He had done the course. He loved the knowledge, but he had a lot of questions. And when I say a lot of questions, I mean a lot of questions. So what would happen, we're driving along in the bus, and he'd sit beside someone for an hour asking questions, and they'd sort of collapse. Then he moved to the next person. Then he moved to the... And by the time we got to Mount Abu, he had covered the whole bus. It took 22 hours, the trip to... And when we got to Mount Abu, we thought, well, what are we going to do with this brother? Because you'd answer one question and 10 more questions came. And we decided to take him to meet Didi Manmohini. And in those days, Didi Manmohini was the co-head of the Brahma Kumaris with Daddy Prakashmani. And Didi was famous for her drishti. And really, in those days, if someone couldn't meditate, they'd sit them in front of Didi, literally. And she had such a connection with Baba that souls really felt, you know, the soul consciousness had that experience of being bodiless. So we took this brother, and in 2 minutes, Didi gave him drishti, and he had the experience of being a bodiless soul, and you know, all the questions finished. And it really taught me that, you know, when we experience, we answer our own questions a lot of the time. We do answer our own questions. I even remember once, I went with Daddy in the early days when I was in London to meet a man in the BBC who was responsible for religious programs, and he had an office right in the heart of London. And when we went to meet him, it was quite interesting because he had a big office and there were so many books. I've never seen so many books in my life in one room. There were, you know, it was like a library, and there was books on his desk and books on the floor. And he was a real scholar of religion. And yet, to be honest, I was young and I was perhaps a bit naive. Just to look at his face, there was no peace. And it really taught me, you know, you can develop your intellect to such an extent, but it actually, if that knowledge isn't used for experience, it sometimes builds ego rather. And just seeing Daddy's face and his face, I saw that, you know, what Baba is teaching is really the path of experience. Why is spiritual experience so important in this life? Because the human mind needs experience. The nature of the mind is to experience. And what I've observed in myself a bit, and talking to many of Baba's children, just like Al was saying, you know, early on in Brahman life, often we have a powerful experience. You know, we do the course. And then after a while, what happens? We're just going along more on faith rather than new experiences. And there's a subtle thing that begins to happen. The mind needs experience. So sometimes, unconsciously, the mind starts to go back to taste the experiences that we experienced prior to Gyan. Because the nature of the mind is to want to experience. And so that's why we come into Gyan, often we have spiritual experiences, and then there's different experiences we had before. The mind starts to go back, like sensual experience. Sensual experience is what is really this world is all about. And what that really means is that I often think this tiny, tiny, subtle soul, nothing, it's so incredible, the size of the soul. It's a wonder. And yet that soul is completely in bondage to the five senses. You know? That unlimited being has become so limited. And the only means to experience are through the sense organs. And hence, that's why in this world, for a better life, it has to be louder, brighter, bigger, you know, more sensual experience. And sometimes if the soul's not taken from Baba, it goes there. Or even emotional experience. Why? If we're not really feeling from Baba, you know, emotional experience is really the experience of human relationships. You know, because those feelings of belonging, closeness, intimacy, you know, if we don't really experience them from Baba, subtly, the soul wants to take those back. Even if they've been, sometimes, you know, emotional experience can give you such a high or such a low. But it's still experience. And hence, the mind sometimes goes back in that direction. Or even intellectual experience. When I understand something, you know, when you really realize something, it's satisfying. When you understand or realize something, it's very satisfying. And I remember once hearing a story about a scientist who was doing an experiment with a little fish in a fish tank. And the little fish was swimming in his tank. And he would eat. They'd put food at one end of the tank and the little fish would eat. Then the scientist put a glass wall in the middle of the tank. And the fish was in one end and the food was in the other end. So each time the little fish went to get his food, he kept knocking his... I don't know, do fish have noses? I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether fish have noses. But. And what the little fish learned to do was just swim in half the tank, because he couldn't go. The scientist took out the glass. The food was still at one end of the tank, 6 inches, like 20 centimeters from the little fish, but the little fish died of starvation. Oh, I know. It's a sad story, but it's a little bit like us, because we are so addicted, and I'm using that word, we are addicted to limited experience. For half a cycle, my mind has tasted sensual, emotional, intellectual experience, and yes, a little bit of devotional experience. And that's why, you know, to relearn how to, you know, like swim up to the other end of the tank and really taste that spiritual experience, it really takes time. Because, you know, what I often feel is Baba gives us the experience of the original self, the original qualities, the original relationship. We have to dip ourselves into the essence of purity. We have to dip ourselves into the essence of bliss, of love, of power. You know, not just think it, believe it, but we have to really feel it. And that's why I love the concept that in this life, we have to make our mind like a laboratory. You know, where we experiment using Baba's knowledge, like cooking. You know, when you different ingredients, you create a different taste. So you feed your mind with thoughts, which will take you into a new feeling. Have you ever contemplated what the human mind is like in the Golden Age? Have you ever thought? We have experienced it somewhere. But you know, it's a really interesting thing. I think minimal thought, maximum feeling. Here, maximum thought, minimal feeling. And in the Golden Age, I often think there'll be a thought like a drop into a pond, just a thought. You know when a drop comes, and then the ripples, it'll just create a fragrance, it'll just waft in your mind. You are sustained by the purity of the quality of thought and feeling. Whereas now, because of lack of experience, the overthinking, which is probably the main reason we can't experience spiritually. We've become thinking addicts. We can't stop thinking, analyzing, processing. And I really feel that's the disease of our time spiritually. You know, our education, sometimes I think we know so much about so many things. Is that true? We know so much information. They say the knowledge base doubles, you know, every few years on the internet and so on. And yet spiritual education, what this university teaches, is to take one idea and go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, even the idea, who am I am the soul, is lifelong research and learning. And that's why I love the idea of making your mind like a laboratory, because there's two aspects to the mind, thinking and feeling. And you know, in science at the moment, there's a big debate, what comes first? Does it really matter? I don't think it does, but some say it's the feelings that create the thoughts, and then the thoughts create the feelings. But what Baba's method is, we feed the thinking with truth, eternal truth, the purest wisdom. And as that I contemplate, I churn, I go deep, it starts to create a mind full of rich spiritual feelings. And I often share an experience when I first came to Madhuban in 1975, my first meeting with Baba. And because it was such a profound experience, it was in the history hall, and Baba spoke the Muli, and there was much less than in this room now, probably half the numbers. And at the end of the Muli, the foreigner season was three, the double foreigner where there were three of us. We were asked to come and sit in front of Baba. And Baba, when he had personal meetings, he gave long drishti. You know, he'd look really deeply into the soul before he spoke anything. And you know, I was very new. I was only a few months in Gyan. And Baba looked really deep in the soul. And honestly, my experience was his drishti was like a laser. And it went really deep inside me. It scanned all my memory track, you know, all the sanskars in a way. And his vision fell on the original me, if I can say, the pure me, the eternal self. It's almost like Baba's vision massaged that to the surface. I had the experience of being a pure soul. And it was an amazing feeling. The lightness, the cleanliness, it was just such an incredibly sweet feeling. And I think that, you know, that experience which Baba gave me really motivated me to continue to, you know, have these experiences. Because I think that, you know, really at the heart of spiritual experience is knowing who I am and experiencing who I am. And I often feel that there are, you know, we can say three aspects. And I've written them up here. I don't know whether you can see them. Three parts of I. Because I think two of them suppress spiritual experience, and one of them really enables me to go much deeper into spiritual experience. The first I, and I remember it was actually from an Avyat Muli, Baba spoke a few years ago, and he said, children, let go the eye of arrogance and the eye of disheartenment and emerge the eye of soul consciousness. And I began to think, you know, which of these three eyes is most powerful? You know, really, which is most powerful? Is it the eye of arrogance, the eye of lack of self-respect, or the original I? Because I think, you know, we'd like to think this one is, but sometimes these things are very powerful. And this first I has a whole thinking, feeling, behavioral structure. This I thinks, you know, I am better, I know more, I am right. But when it comes into my feelings, that's when I feel so easily insulted, disrespected, you know, not valued, excluded, you know, all those powerful feelings which we sometimes taste inside. And when we're under this experience, when we're under the influence of this I, then really there's not much, the experience is really quite a negative experience. Then the flip side is the eye of lack of self-respect. This is the eye of inferiority. And this eye thinks that, you know, others are better, others know more, others are right, you know, all those sorts of things. And when it starts to filter in my feelings, is the feelings of hopelessness or inadequacy or inferiority or these sorts of feelings which come. And so often we swing between the eye of arrogance, the eye of superiority, and the eye of lack of self-respect or the eye of inferiority. And this is where the third eye is really the original eye. And I think that the more I'm able to really taste the feeling of the original eye, and the more I'm able to let go the consciousness of the body and go deeply into those thoughts of who I am. And sometimes, you know, we let go the layer, the subtle layers of body consciousness, but when I really taste the original self, then I'm able to really experience the essence of who I am. And sometimes I think that, you know, we hold on to the old image of who I am internally. We, you know, rather than really connecting with my original self. And so, I think what we might do is we might go next door and we're going to start to have an experience of soul consciousness, and we're going to have an experiment next door. So what I'm going to ask you all to do is, maybe you will need you won't need your books and all those sorts of things, because we're going to do a sort of an exercise in the room next door, which I'll explain. And so if we can maybe leave our books and things there, but we probably will need translation. So you might have to go, and we're going to go straight through to room 8, if that's okay.